بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد فقد قال الله تعالى في كتاب المجيد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما في أول سيد روشيف one time اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. First of all, as always, we should do shukr and thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala like we do in our salah. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen that He's allowed us to sit down, pray our salah in the masjid, sit down with the intention to learn something and hopefully bring some change, some improvement in our life, inshallah. And also, whilst we're sat here, we're obviously waiting for Isha salah, so we should also make an intention of irtikaf and an intention of waiting for Isha Salah too. There are great, great virtues promised for doing so. As long as we're sat waiting for Salah, then there are angels that are making dua for us. And alhamdulillah, whilst we're in the niyat of irtikaf, we're automatically getting the reward of worship every single second. So we've gathered for a very, very noble purpose, which obviously I'm aware takes place every single week. And that is a reminder, essentially, of our duty to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who guides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by His grace, by His fadl. At the end of the day, it's only Allah ta'ala who can guide, and whoever Allah ta'ala misguides, none can guide. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it very clear to the ummah through the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whose name was Abu Talib. Abu Talib was somebody who raised essentially the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he didn't just raise the noble creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his most esteemed creation, but he also showed a lot of love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. On top of that, he was very sincere and he exerted a great amount of effort. You know how hard it is when you have guests for more than 3 days, how much it disturbs your other routine. Or if you have to look after somebody's, don't know if anybody's had that sort of experience, where you look after somebody else's child for a couple of days, it does disturb your normal routine and other things, and it adds up. And here, Abu Talib raised the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he actually raised him in a very beautiful manner. He would give him extra love and attention. So he did a great job. However, inside, he wasn't blessed, and he wasn't granted the ability to have this desire for hidayat and guidance. He was happy and content with the way of his forefathers. As a result of this feeling and lack of desire for guidance, Allah Ta'ala he was not blessed with the guidance of Islam. So Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran Kareem to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, no matter how much it hurt him, that you cannot guide the one who la tahdi man ahbabatan. You're not the one who guides, it's us who guide. However, although this is the case, then Allah Ta'ala, despite this, He didn't just make it such that He sends down a book and He says that follow the book and that's you sorted. Rather, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose a Nabi, a person who He wanted everyone to follow. This was the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Allah ta'ala says in the Quran that for you certainly لَقَدَ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا. So for you there's a great role model in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this meant that Allah ta'ala made this creation so perfect so that until the end of times mankind can understand what is the criteria between right and wrong. Because there'll be lots of different ways and methods and things that will come around, but this way will be the most pristine way. And then Allah Ta'ala, because the Nabi is a human being, and there are some things with a Nabi that are very special to a Nabi. So for example, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, if he went to sleep, then his wudu would not break, because he said that, إِنَّ عَيْنَايَ تَنَامُ وَلَا يَنَامُ قَلْبِي. My eyes might shut, but my heart never sleeps. And there were some other things as well. The Prophets, alayhimu salam, tahajjud salah was fard upon them. So there were a couple of things that separate the Prophets from, obviously, mankind. Yes, they're human beings. So anatomically, they do look like human beings. They do feel hunger. They do get married. They do sleep. They get tired. But he is a Nabi of Allah after all. So for that, then Allah Ta'ala prepared a group to show mankind how do you act upon the way in the sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and they're known as the Sahaba. And the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said very clearly that there will be so many different divisions in Islam and sects in Islam that you'll see. Not all at once. Some people get worried. Oh my gosh, 73. Not all at once. But you will see these different variations and different methodologies arise in my ummah. There will only be one that will be the saved group. And very clear criteria the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave. Ma ana alayhi wa ashabi. The way of me, my sunnah, and the way of my sahaba radiallahu anhum. So this collective By looking at the Sahaba, we understand what is the Sunnah, and the Sunnah through Sunnah we understand what is it that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from us. So these gatherings are just to raise that awareness, and hopefully by talking about it, me talking about it today, hopefully it also grants me tawfiq to do some amal as well in my life. And also reminds us of our duty to them, that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that Allah ta'ala sent to us. So those duties, as a whole, I just mention them briefly, summarize them. Essentially, obviously the first is to have iman in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Sahaba had these three things they would always say. And this is what made them the Sahaba, this is what made them successful. The first thing they said was, amanna wa saddaqna. We have brought iman. Obviously, condition number one, I gave you the example of Abu Talib. Abu Talib did everything, but he did not accept the message that the Prophet ﷺ was preaching. So, amanna wa saddaqna is condition number one. You believe, and then they said, wa saddaqna, and we testify and we affirm on this belief. Whatever you say is the truth. So, if the Prophet ﷺ, you see, he would ask the Sahaba, what's this? What do you think of that man? What do you think of this person? What do you think of this ayat? What do you think of this? And they would say, Allahu wa Rasuluhu A'lam. So totally, their own opinion had nothing. Allahu wa Rasuluhu A'lam means Allah and His Rasul know best. Now is an age, the Prophet ﷺ said, near Yawmul Qiyamah, you'll see a time where every person, his own opinion will be, إِعْجَابُ كُلِّ ذِي رَأْيٍ بِرَأْيِهِ. He will hold his own opinion to very high esteem. He will say, mera khayal kya hai, right? I'm sorry, mera khayal ye hai. This is what I think it should be. Whereas he has no speciality, no knowledge, no expertise to talk about that field, but in every single field, whether it's deen related or anything else, he always wants to project his own opinion as if it means anything. You can say, you know, kanun ko hath mein le aana, which is dangerous to bring the law into your own hands, but if it's the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and somebody does that, then this person is very dangerous. So nowadays, this is not my intended topic today, I don't want to go into these, but nowadays, the reason why you see differences is there's people that have less Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's way, and as a result, then they start interpreting the Quranic verses according to whatever suits them, whatever suits their liking. So we say, no, very straightforward, Allah Ta'ala sent this Nabi, and this Nabi was there so that he could explain what is the Quran saying to us. There was a Sahabi who once an ayat of the Quran revealed about fasting. We know that we fast from dawn till dusk, from sahur till iftar. So the ayat of the Quran says, حَتَّى يَتَبَيَّنَ لَكُمُ الْخَيْتُ الْأَبْيَضُ مِنَ الْخَيْتِ الْأَسْوَدِ مِنَ الْفَجْرِ. So Allah Ta'ala says, eat and drink, as long throughout the night, you can eat whenever you like and drink until the white thread becomes clear from the black thread. So the word is thread, daga. Okay. So one Sahabi, he didn't understand that this is a metaphor, this isn't literal. So he had two threads which he kept underneath his pillow, and he keep an eye on them, and he say, once the color of this becomes clear from that one, that means that now the time for eating is finished. So when the Prophet ﷺ was told about this, he said, no, this is not what it means. Rather, it's referring to the daylight hours and the sunlight arising, and the light of day, the brink of dawn, when that begins, that's what the ayat is referring to. So very easy for us to interpret things. So the Rasulullah ﷺ, the first thing was, amanna wa saddaqna, we believe. And sami'na wa ta'na, secondly, we hear, we obey. That's the other job of the Nabi. We hear, we obey. So that's his. And the third thing was, the Sahaba would say was, bi abi anta wa ummi ya Rasulullah. May my mother and father be sacrificed for you, Rasulullah. So the third thing is this muhabbat and love for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So by sitting in these gatherings, alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala has given people tawfiq that the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, with by sitting regularly in such blessed gatherings, inshallah, by Allah Ta'ala's grace, this is increased. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, none of your iman is complete. None of your iman. We've said that we're Muslims. He said, your iman is not complete until you love me more than you love walidihi, waladihi, wa nasi ajma'in. Your children, your parents, and the entire mankind. Another hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, more than yourself. Ya apne aap ko hi bhool jana. So this is a dalil and evidence and clear instruction that ishq and muhabbat for the Prophet ﷺ is also a requirement, and it's also a part of our iman. Our iman is only complete if we say that the whole world can stand on one side. Easier said than done. Okay, and you have to use some wisdom. It doesn't mean you just totally become a sort of harsh individual either. You have to be gentle. You shouldn't be harsh on people. But deep inside, your purpose should be that doesn't matter what I want, doesn't matter what anybody else wants. My pleasure is, and my desire is to please Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is our path and the ultimate path of success in the dunya and the akhirah. So, and what does success mean? Last week, 2 weeks ago actually, I heard of somebody. I won't go into details, but it was their wedding night. So the day before their wedding, and they went to the kya kehte hain, they went to go get their makeup done to the salon, the beauty salon, and the person there, this was in Pakistan, and the person there said that, do you want me to fix your eyebrows? Fix is the word they use, but essentially, do you want me to shape your eyebrows? Because she had some hair even between her, between the eyebrows, what we call a monobrow, which, yeah, the young boys will know what that's like. So he said, do you want me to clean that up for you? Because you're not going to look pretty as a wife and a bride like this. So she said, nope. She was an alima, mashallah, but she said, nope, no chance. Why? Because it's not allowed. Deen mein bilkul najayiz. There's the Prophet ﷺ, there's a curse and lanat for the person who shapes and messes with their eyebrows. It's not a small thing in our Islam. Allah Ta'ala, when He's created a system, He does not like anyone tampering with it. This is why Shaitan said that I will udalliyannahum wala umanniyannahum wala amurannahum. I'm going to lead them astray. How? One is I'll make them nashukri and ungrateful. The other thing I'll do is I'll make them change the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the deen is very clear. Men should grow their beards, women should dress differently. The roles and the way that Allah Ta'ala has created the creation, He wants things to remain in that way. So much so that He said that if you temper with the months, I won't go into the details, it's going to become lumpy, but let's go back to the main point. So she said that, no, there's no chance, I'm not going to do it. This person said that this is my din ka kaam, this is what I do, this is my day and, you know, day and night, bread and butter. I'm telling you, you're not going to look pretty as a bride. She said, no, I don't care. Right? So this is somebody we know personally. And when she finished, she said, don't touch my eyebrows. So when they finished doing her preparation, then that, again, the words are not going to my mind, la hawla wa quwwata illa billah, but whoever was that salon lady, she turned around and she said to him, that you look stunning. I was not expecting you to look so pretty. So she said that, and now, through seeing your example, I will never touch my eyebrows, number one, and I'm going to tell every single person I meet about your story. That really, when you, because Allah Ta'ala has promised that there's success in following the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, and this is not restricted to men, not restricted to a certain population or pious people. Anyone that follows the way of Rasulullah ﷺ will find success. Anyway, that was just one random example, but really, we don't appreciate. There was a Sahabi once, and then I'll start inshallah reading, apologies for. There was a Sahabi once who knew the sunnahs of drinking water. Don't know how many of us can name them off the top of our head. Six sunnats of drinking water. Okay, easy way to remember, chain number. You have, hold it with your right hand, you look into the cup, you drink in three sips, you say Bismillah at the start, you say Alhamdulillah at the end, and you, yes, an odd number, short number of sips. So, he was thirsty at night, and he had a cup, and obviously this is the time of Sahaba, this is a long time ago, you didn't have street lights on where you could see everything, it was pitch black, and he thought to himself, you know, I can't see what's in this cup, I'll hold on to my thirst. Tomorrow morning when I wake up, then I'll drink my water. Because I won't be able to act upon the sunnat. Small thing we think, right? In the morning he wakes up, he picks up that vessel and he sees there's a small snake inside of that vessel. Subhanallah, the sunnat saved that person there. So sunnat has come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So one thing we have to do is then learn what are the sunnats and slowly, slowly bring them into our lives. And the last thing is, the right the Prophet ﷺ has is the one that I recited the ayat at the start. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran that Allah and His angels, they confer blessings and salutations upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. O you who believe, sallu alaihi wasallimu taslima. Now you do so as well. So this is the final sort of most important right that we have, that we send abundant, because this is the only hukum in the Quran. Allah Ta'ala says, kutiba alaykumus siyam. For example, fasting has been ordained upon you. Everyone knows roza farz, aqimu salah, establish salah, atu zakah, give zakah, and wa atimul hajj wal umrata lillah. Complete Hajj and Umrah for the sake of Allah alone. وَبِلْ وَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. With your parents, treat them well. وَبِذِ الْقُرْبَى وَالْيَتَامَى. Your relatives, everything is there. Clear, just commands. Okay, Allah Ta'ala is the Lord. He tells His creation, do X, Y, and Z. And they do it. Okay, and then Allah Ta'ala might mention wisdoms behind it. But the hukam is very clear. The only command that Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala has given in a very unique way is this one. Here, before saying, O you who believe, send salutation from the Prophet ﷺ, Allah Ta'ala in the Quran says. And really, the Quran is enough as a dalil. We don't have to go into anything else. But the ahadith, they give us detail and some guidance on how to do this practically. But this is sufficient. Allah Ta'ala says that indeed Allah and His angels. Allah and His angels. So this is, to begin with, this is not an amal that's restricted to the believers or the makhluq. But Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala Himself and His noble, pure creation, His angels, yusallun ala nabi. They're also engaged in invoking salat and salam and conferring blessings on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. O you who believe, you do so as well. So a really unique this command, and it's something that Allah Ta'ala is also engaged in. What does it mean by Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala being engaged in? It comes in this kitab later on, it's mentioned in detail. It means, obviously, Allah Ta'ala's durood and salat and salam is not like that of the makhluq. Allah Ta'ala's one means that He showers His blessings upon an individual. Because Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, وَالَّذِي يُصَلِّي عَلَيْكُمْ, even you, O believers, Allah Ta'ala, He confers blessings upon you too. So that's a different type. The angels is a different type, and us, for us, our sallu alayhi, our salat and salam is really a dua. Okay, from Allah Ta'ala, that, oh Allah, this creation, this Nabi of yours, who we are indebted to, we are truly indebted to, who we can never repay, even an iota. Not my words, the words of the shuyukh are, that if we spend our entire life reciting Durood Sharif, we still cannot fulfill the right of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, truly. So this Nabi, this beautiful creation of yours that I am completely indebted to, that my family, my friends are indebted to, I can't do anything. So I ask you, O Allah, send peace and blessings upon the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So this is where this is the reality of it. And this is why our elders, they would even do it for the ajr and reward. We should keep that in mind, but they did it purely out of the love and appreciation for the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But still, Nabi of Allah is where we can't even imagine. He is past Siddatul Muntaha. He's gone up to seven heavens and even beyond. He's spoken to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala way beyond us. So what happens is, because he's such a blessed creation of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, then by being connected to Him in a slight, small way, so much blessing comes upon us. So the Prophet ﷺ said, whoever sends peace and blessings upon me once, then Allah Ta'ala sends 10 times upon him. 10 times. And then Allah Ta'ala's rahmat comes 10 times upon this person. 10 sins are forgiven for this person. 10 ranks in Jannat are raised for that person. And the doors of rizq become open for that person. And the worries of his hearts are removed. Allah Ta'ala begins to take care of his affairs. And there's more than 40, 50 blessings and virtues that have been mentioned. Even this kitab mentions 40 here as well. So really there's so much that we gain from this. And a deep thing about Durood Sharif is, it's a dua. So du'as are always accepted, as we mentioned, learning the hadith, that there's three outcomes to du'as, but du'as are never rejected. So du'a is going to be accepted. Number two, it's a dhikr. So you have the angle of dhikr in there as well. And it's also an amal which is always accepted as being a du'a. And any other deed we do, it's possible that due to some deficiency, there's a decrease in reward or something else might happen. Durood Sharif is that pure amal that it's always accepted by Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, because it contains a dua in there as well. So really the fadail are great, and this is why you'll see anyone that perhaps, mashallah, I know we have lots of ulama and mashayikh that visit this masjid as well as other masajid in Glasgow, you see that they all stress this one point. You see our elders as well, no matter who it is, there's nobody that doesn't mention the importance of reciting abundantly. So what we need to do, simple for us. We don't have to learn all the evidences and all these things, because that's not going to make a difference. What's required is amal, and to bring it into our lives. So for that, very straight, clear and practical way to bring it into your life is to have a target. This is probably spoken about as well, I imagine, by Sheikh Mufti Saab, that you have a target every single week, every day, and especially on the night of Friday and the day of Friday, i.e. tonight and tomorrow until Maghrib, you have a new additional target which is higher. Why? Because the Prophet ﷺ said that this is the Nurani and the luminous night. So send abundant salat and salam on these days. There's added virtue in descending on this day anyway. So this is also why this day is chosen to sort of conduct these majalis and these gatherings, so that, you know, at its right time we can speak about it, and inshallah we can benefit from it as well, and bring that into our families, and not just ourselves obviously. Once we bring it into our life, we should also explain this, the virtues that you've learned here today, and you learn every single week. If really, some of us don't realize that if our women folk, our mothers, our sisters, our daughters, if they realize these things as well, they get to know, alhamdulillah, we're enjoying this company where we sat together with one purpose. But if they were to know these things, then they often outperform men. So many examples of this as well that we've seen as well in our life. There was a sheikh saying last week, he's a sheikh and he's also a doctor, and he was saying that in hospital, one of the ladies that came to his ward was a Muslimah. And he goes, I counted her and noticed her, that while she was there in her bed, she's constantly reciting Durood Sharif. And then I asked her, old lady in hospital, you know, very unwell on her ward and on her bed, that how many times do you recite Durood Sharif in one day? This is not 300 years ago. This is just a couple of weeks ago. And she said that I recite, never does a day go by where I don't recite any less than Sawalak, 125,000 times Durood Sharif every single day. And he says, I sat there for a while and I watched her, and really she was, mashallah, barakat, because of them making an effort, Allah Ta'ala expands their time, puts barakah in it, they're actually able to recite so many times on a normal given day. So another thing to do also when we talk about this is realize that deen is not going to come into our household, our families, until it doesn't come into our mothers and our sisters as well. And when they get it, then they will create the environment at home so that then this will increase. And another benefit, last thing I'll say, is that because the Prophet ﷺ said that Allah Ta'ala's rahmat comes towards you, this is guaranteed. Allah Ta'ala's rahmat will come towards you through reciting Durood Sharif. If there is a habit at home that this is recited, the Prophet ﷺ, number one, said, the places where the dhikr of Allah is done, they shine in the skies. Just like we look at the stars and we see the stars shining, similarly the people of the skies, the angels, they see those parts of the earth shining as well. So that house becomes a place that is noted by the angels in the skies, and they come and visit those houses. And the other thing is, because rahmat comes specifically, it brings a solution, and it brings an end to a lot of the quarreling and the fighting and arguments that take place nowadays very commonly in houses. This is a very effective, we shouldn't say tried and tested, but really a tried and tested method by which those issues are resolved as well. So really, this is why you see the Hazrat Shaykh, for example, who's written this book here. He taught Bukhari Sharif and he taught Ahadith for over 40-50 years. Over 40-50 years, his only job day in, day out was teach Hadith. Teach Hadith and teach Quran. That's it. And not just in any old place either. He taught it at Darul Deoband at its peak. You know, at one of the top institutions in the world. He was teaching Hadith. He was the Shaykhul Hadith at that time. And he said that his research at the end of what he said was that this Durood Sharif is a cure for all your worries. This is how far he went to say. These are not my words. Again, these are his words. So what we need to do, very straightforward for us, is simple, is make a target and make sure that we try and are regular on that target, so that our salam is presented to the Prophet ﷺ, and he, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, recognizes us. And then on the day of judgment, the Prophet ﷺ said that on the day of judgment, the ones that are closest to me will be according to two ahadith. One hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, those who act upon my sunnah the most will be closest to me on the day of judgment. Who doesn't want the closeness of the Prophet ﷺ? Because our deeds, we have no idea how they are in front of Allah Ta'ala. We have hope because he is so generous that he'll accept our deeds, but we have no idea, and we know how much focus we have. But if we have the rope and if we have the closeness to the Prophet ﷺ, then there's nothing to worry about, inshallah. So one thing is, he said the sunnah, those are acting on my sunnah, and the second are those people who recite, those who recite the most Durood Sharif upon me. This is why these gatherings are stressed. This is why we get together to remind ourselves of this. And I pray to Allah SWT that he grants me the tawfiq and grants us all the tawfiq. I'll quickly just mention, because we've opened the book and I want to mention Hazrat Shaykh's words, we'll recite, read a little bit of the book, and inshallah then conclude with some Durood Sharif. So the ayat I started with today at the start. So Shaykh explains in this ayat that Allah Ta'ala has given many different commands in the Quran. So we've already covered this today actually, so I'll skip this part. He says, after creating Adam alayhi salam, he ordered the angels to prostrate towards him. However, nowhere has Allah Ta'ala stated in any command or in any act of honoring that he is also himself the participant and the believer should follow suit. This honor is solely for the leader of creation, the pride of the world, Fakhrudu Alam sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Where Allah Ta'ala first attributes the act of conferring blessings toward himself, and after attributing it towards his angels, finally he orders the believers that they should also invoke blessings upon him. What virtue could be greater than the believers participating in this act with Allah and his angels? Furthermore, those who understand Arabic know that the verse begins with the particle inna, inna Allahu malaika. Inna, which adds great emphasis to its meaning, and the imperfect tense of mudari', which is yusalluna, has been used, which indicates continuity. So in Arabic you have the past tense and you have the present and future tense. So yusalluna is present future tense, which means Allah Ta'ala and his angels are always engaged in this amal. In other words, it is firmly established that Allah and his angels are constantly conferring blessings upon the noble Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allama Sakhawi rahimahullah writes, this verse, being in the imperfect tense, denotes continuity and permanence, establishes that Allah Ta'ala and his angels are always conferring blessings upon the noble Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The author of Ruhul Bayan writes, some scholars state that the meaning of Allah Ta'ala conferring his blessings is raising the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to the praised station, Maqam-e Mahmood, which is a station of shafa'ah, intercession. The blessings, salat of the angels, are to pray for the Noble Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's status to be elevated and to seek forgiveness for the Noble Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's followers. The meaning of the believers invoking blessings to follow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, love him and to mention and praise his sublime qualities. Moreover, this honor which Allah Ta'ala granted the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is far greater than the respect shown to Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam by ordering the angels to prostrate before him. Because Allah Ta'ala is personally engaged in this act of honoring the Noble Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whereas only the angels were ordered to prostrate before Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam. This is a very interesting point as well. Which is essentially that Allah Ta'ala in the Quran, when He created Adam alayhi salam and He told the angels to prostrate towards Adam alayhi salam and everyone in the skies, He just said straight away, "Usjudu li Adam." Clear, like I said before, all the commands in the Quran are very direct. This was a direct command as well, "Usjudu li Adam." So this was a command to the creation regarding a Nabi of Allah, Adam alayhi salam. Very direct. Here we've been given a command regarding a Nabi of Allah, his final and most blessed Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But here Allah Ta'ala has not just said "Sallu alayhi." He said, as I said before, He's prefaced it with saying that He and the angels are also in there as well. So then there's a poem that's mentioned that the intellectual will realize that such an honor has not been bestowed upon any other prophet or his followers. يصلي عليه الجلال يصلي عليه الله جل جلاله بهذا بدال العالمين كماله. The author says that Allah Ta'ala confers blessings upon him whereby his excellence is manifest to the whole creation. So meaning it's enough of an evidence for you to realize that if Allah Ta'ala is doing so, how great must this creation of Allah Ta'ala be? May Allah Ta'ala grant us the tawfiq to bring Durood Sharif and the Sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam into our lives fully. And may Allah Ta'ala allow us to come out of our neglect and ghaflat and wasting time on things that don't benefit us in the dunya or akhirah, and instead engage in those productive a'mal and grant us the accepted from us as well. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Inshallah, now we're going to recite Durood Sharif. These are a collection of 40 durood, 40 sighas of salat and salam on the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, all established from taken from ahadith. And so there is a blessing in reciting these, one in it fulfilling this command here, and the second blessing of it is that these are ahadith of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam as well. So we should sit with this niyat as well, that you're sitting here to listen to hadith as well, so we should try and show that respect as well. And as Shaykh Gangohi rahimahullah would say, that when you recite this Durood Sharif, then obviously you're reciting it so that it's presented upon in the court of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that when you recite it, it's presented towards me with the name of your father, that so and so, the son of so and so, sends salat and salam. So while you're reciting it, keep that in mind as well. Try and bring this attention as well. Our minds nowadays, because of our phones and social media, we really struggle to focus. So we should try, as we recite the Durood Sharif, that also keep in mind what's going on, that right now the angels are taking my salat and salam, and they're taking to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And as he himself has said, we believe in it, his words more than our words. He himself said that I then respond to that person's salam. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was such, he was so generous. If somebody did something good to him, he would always give him much more back in return. So if we have more ikhlas in the way that we do it, then inshallah we'll benefit more as well, and our connection with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will be strengthened. May Allah Ta'ala grant us all tawfiq. So we'll recite this Durood Sharif, these 40 sighas and ahadith, and then afterwards, for the remainder of the time until Isha Salah, then I would encourage that we inshallah ourselves individually, while we're in this gathering, in this environment of the masjid, we engage in reciting Durood Sharif ourselves, and then thereafter inshallah we can make a habit outwith of the masjid as well, that we get tawfiq to do so. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Salamun ala ibadihi alladhina istafa, salamun ala al-mursaleen. Salamun ala ibadihi alladhina istafa, salamun ala al-mursaleen. If I recite Durood Sharif one time, Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammad. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد وانزل المنقذ المقرب عندك اللهم رب هذه دعوة القائمة والصلاة النافية صل على محمد وضع عني لضل لا تسخط بعده أبدا اللهم صل على محمد عبدك ورسولك وصل على المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد وارحم محمدا وآل محمد كما صليت وباركت ورحمت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وأزواج وذريته كما صليت على آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وأزواج وذريته كما باركت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى أزواج وذريته كما صليت على آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى أزواج وذريته كما باركت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد النبي وأزواجه أمهات المؤمنين وذريته وأهل بيته كما صليت على آل إبراهيم إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على آل إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وترحم على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما ترحمت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم ترحم على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما ترحمت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم تحنن على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما تحننت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم سلم على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما سلمت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد وبارك وسلم على محمد وعلى آل محمد وارحم محمدا وآل محمد كما صليت وباركت وترحمت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد عبدك ورسولك كما صليت على آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وبارك على محمد النبي الأمي كما باركت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد عبدك ورسولك النبي الأمي وعلى آل محمد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد صلاة تكون لك رضا وله جزاء ولحقه أداء وعطه الوسيلة والفضيلة والمقام المحمود الذي وعده ورزي عنا ما هو أهله وجزه أفضل ما جازيت نبيا عن قومه ورسولا عن أمته وصل على جميع إخوانه من النبيين والصالحين يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى أهل بيته كما صليت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل علينا معهم اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى أهل بيته كما باركت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك علينا معهم صلوات الله وصلوات المؤمنين على محمد النبي الأمي اللهم اجعل صلواتك ورحمتك وبركاتك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما جعلتها على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وصلى الله على النبي الأمي 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 تحيات لله وصلوات وطيبات والسلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته والسلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله التحيات الطيبات والصلوات لله السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته والسلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله التحيات لله الطيبات الصلوات لله السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله التحيات المباركات الصلوات الطيبات لله سلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته سلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله بسم الله وبالله التحيات لله والصلوات والطيبات السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أسأل الله الجنة وأعوذ بالله من النار التحيات لله الزاكيات لله الطيبات الصلوات لله السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله بسم الله وبالله خير الأسماء التحيات الطيبات الصلوات لله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا وأن الساعة آتية لا ريب فيها السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته والسلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين اللهم اغفر لي واهدني التحيات الطيبات والصلوات والملك لله السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته بسم الله التحيات لله صلوات الله الزاكيات لله السلام على النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته والسلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين شهدت أن لا إله إلا الله شهدت أن محمد رسول الله التحيات الطيبات الصلوات الزاكيات لله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأن محمدا عبده ورسوله السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين التحيات الطيبات الصلوات الزاكيات لله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبد الله ورسوله السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين التحيات الصلوات لله السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين التحيات لله الصلوات الطيبات السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله التحيات المباركات الصلوات الطيبات لله السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا رسول الله بسم الله والسلام على 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 رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا اللهم لك الحمد ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين رب اغفر وارحم وأنت خير الراحمين اللهم إنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وإنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه اللهم إنا نسألك الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك يا مصرف القلوب صرف قلوبنا إلى طاعتك اللهم إنا نسألك حبك وحب من يحبك وحب عمل يقربنا إلى حبك اللهم اجعل حبك أحب إلينا من أنفسنا وأهلنا ومن الماء البارد اللهم آت نفسي تقواها وزكها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها مولاها اللهم اجعل وساوس قلبي خشيتك وذكرك وجهمتي وهواي فيما تحب وترضى يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك أستغيث أصلح لي شأني كله ولا تكلني إلى نفسي طرفة عين ولا تنزع مني صالح ما أعطيتني ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب اللهم اجعل عملنا كله صالحا واجعله لوجهك خالصا ولا تجعل لأحد فيه شيئا سيئة. اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى من القول والفعل والعملة والنية والهدي، إنك على كل شيء قدير. اللهم زدنا ولا تنقصنا، وأكرمنا ولا تهنا، وأعطنا ولا تحرمنا، وآثنا ولا تؤثر علينا، وارض عنا وارضنا. اللهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين، اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين، اللهم انصر عبادك المستضعفين وارحمهم في غزة وفي فلسطين وفي جميع بلاد العالمين يا رب العالمين. اللهم ايدهم وانصرهم واحفظهم، اللهم كن لهم معينا وظهيرا، واجعل لهم من لدنك سلطانا ونصيرا. اللهم عجل لهم النصر والفرج، اللهم أرنا فيهم عجائب قدرتك، اللهم أطعمهم من جوع وآمنهم من خوف، اللهم ارحم ضعفهم واجبر كسرهم وداوي جرحاهم واشف مرضاهم وفك أسرهم وفك حصارهم يا ذا الجلال والإكرام. اللهم قاتل الطغاة الذين يصدون عن سبيلك ويكذبون رسلك ويقاتلون أولياءك. اللهم شتت شملهم وازغ جمعهم ودمر ديارهم. اللهم خذهم أخذ عزيز مقتدر. اللهم خالف بين كلمتهم وزلزل أقدامهم وانزل بهم بأسك الذي لا ترده عن القوم المجرمين. اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك من نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذك منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. أنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ، ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العظيم. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم، وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. آمين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله، أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله، أشهد أن محمد رسول الله، أشهد أن محمد رسول الله. حي على الصلاة، حي على الصلاة، حي على الفلاح، حي على الفلاح. الله أكبر الله أكبر. لا إله إلا الله،